path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
So what's holding you back from living the life that you truly dream about leaving? Leading, not leaving, leading. Where do you want to go with your life, and why do you think you're not getting there? Are you finding every reason not to instead of every reason to make your dreams come true? Well, my guest today is Josh Ubaldi, who is a show regular and an effervescent guy who always finds a way to smash through what's holding you back. So I'm thrilled to have Josh on the show. Josh, welcome.
Cheryl, I'm thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, you know, as you're coaching people and you work with a lot of actors, you work with a lot of just everyday people like you and me, What do you find out is universal in them not going forward with their dreams?
Well, you know, a lot of people like to talk about, especially in that general self-help world and all the books and kind of TV shows we get access to, people love to talk about limiting beliefs. But that's the hardest thing to try to address, especially if you're going to try to address it on your own. And most people like to talk about how they have these limiting beliefs. But at the end of the day, there's usually little pieces of resistance that really people are struggling with. And that's far more actionable and far more simple to kind of engage with. And then, like you said, at the start, bust through.
When we have someone, though, that says, wait a second, I want to do this. What do you mean I'm resisting it? How do you help them see what they're resisting?
Yeah. So the funny thing about that is you oftentimes, and this can be a little counterintuitive, right? Because sometimes people hear this and they think, but you're playing right back into my limiting belief cards. But you really need to start with the basics. So oftentimes when I'm working with people, I'll really challenge them and ask them, hey, do you really believe this is resistance? Because sometimes what we're actually doing, Cheryl, is mistaking resistance for just very simply not liking something. So you might not be actually resisting something, right? Like, what a relief that would be, because instead you actually may have no actual interest in it, or you actually may truly dislike something. So for example, right, you might think that you're resisting meeting new people. A lot of people have that, right? A lot of people come to me with things like, oh, I have social anxiety. I don't want to be on this drug. I want to just, you know, engage more naturally with people and just feel more, quote unquote, authentic. And in those situations, you know, it's like, well, maybe you're an introvert. Do you really want to meet new people? Because it's like sometimes some people do find themselves truly lonely, right? They really do want to meet new people deep down. So in that case, yes, we can absolutely immediately qualify that as something, a clear form of resistance. But for other people, they're really content keeping their own company. And asking them to meet new people couldn't really be called resistance, because it really is just disinterest or dislike. That makes sense, right? So we don't want to try to cure someone's resistance when they're not actually feeling resistant.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because we get these beliefs in our head that we should do something or we shouldn't do something. But I think a lot of this is the should, so to speak. We think we should be more social animals. We should be going out and doing more, when the truth is, that's not what we want right now in our lives.
That's right. And, you know, anybody who's listening to this is really aware of the fact that these type of conversations that you and I are having, Cheryl, they're all about creating just that little extra bit of self-awareness so they can do what you said at the start of the show, which is feel like they're living the life that they're meant to be leading. So that little bit of self-awareness is going to catapult you to that next level.
Do we think we're self-aware when in truth is we are still, and resisting might be the right word, or being blind to who we really are?
Tell me a little bit more about what you mean by that.
Well, I truly wonder if we sit here and we think that we are this person. You used introvert, and I would use that example from my own life because I always mm-hmm. thought I was an extrovert until mm-hmm. I sat down with a team of my own managers. And it's like, how would you describe me? And every single one of them described me as an introvert.
Interesting.
So I saw myself differently than everyone around me saw. And that's a personal example. But we think that we are these, in some cases, larger than life or smaller than life people when we truly are the exact opposite. Does that make sense?
It does. It makes perfect sense. And, you know, with that example you gave, a couple of great things are happening because the example you gave is an illustration perfectly of when you ask the right questions, you're going to get answers that are going to move you forward, probably because you weren't expecting those answers. You probably expected people to say, oh, you're, Cheryl, you're such an introvert. And it's not even a value judgment like being an introvert, you know, therefore somehow makes you less connectable. It has nothing to do with that type of thing. I think the most important thing in terms of this realm of resistance is really realizing that you always need to start with your feelings. Because, and that's the self-awareness that we're talking about, right? Because resistance isn't a feeling. Resistance always, we need to remind ourselves, it's an action, and specifically it's a reaction. So for most people, they're usually resisting something that's outside of themselves. So, and there's no blame here, but usually some really well-meaning friend or family member will start suggesting things, you know, go out, meet new people, join a club, go play golf. Like, you know, we're all actually used to giving this advice and getting this advice. But those are usually not pieces. They're not things that you've generated yourself or you've discovered for yourself. So instead of naturally moving towards something that your own imagination, if you want to say, conjures up for you, in fact, then you create a situation where you're reacting against, you're resisting something that you probably feel a little defensive about. And I think that's the thing. Most resistance, most of us could qualify as being a little defensive, and then we have to manage that sense of defensive. For some of us, you know, if you're on the advice giving side of the equation, you might say, oh, well, you know, I suggested this and you're sounding a little passive aggressive about it. Well, yeah, maybe the person receiving your advice is passive aggressive about it because they didn't come up with this. It's your suggestion. And when you give people the space to come up with their own answers, that's when the magic really happens.
That to me is such an important point because I know over the course of especially these last couple of years since Jack died, everyone's had an idea of how I should live my life. And it's like, totally. Great, thanks for your input, my life. And some of them are just going, well, why are you doing that? Or why are you not doing that? And we have this in every day that people that you and I work with that make decisions that their families don't support or their friends go, are you crazy? You just sit there and go, you're pushing something on another person. And while it may be well-intentioned, letting it out there, putting it out there is one thing, pushing it is something different. So I don't know about you, but I get my back up against the wall and I'm going to go, yeah, not going to do what you say because you're pushing me.
Precisely. And this is exactly what real true coaching is about, whether it's career coaching or business coaching or just, you know, broader life coaching. All of these parts of coaching really work the same way so that you're actually allowed to answer your own questions about yourself. So it's that situation of us getting accustomed to being given advice and giving people that we care about advice. But again, it's something external. So if we aren't creating these things and we're not giving ourselves space to answer these questions, we can't come up with the exact correct answer for ourselves right at that moment. And that's the key here. So you might want to meet new people, right? But you might feel a little, and not you specifically, but somebody who, you know, using that example still, somebody might be a little terrified about meeting new people, right? So if I'm suggesting, like you're saying with what happened after Jack died, all these suggestions coming your way, if I say, well, Cheryl, why don't you start going to some cocktail parties? That, like you said, could terrify you even more for whatever reason. And the reasons don't matter. So The reasons you have for feeling the way you feel don't matter. That's the really important thing. But if you think, well, no, I don't want to go to a cocktail party. I'd rather meet people with similar interests. I'd like to take my dog to the dog park at different times of the day and meet new people that way. So you give yourself the fastest right answer for where you are right now. That way we don't need to skip steps in the process. It's those skipping the steps of trying to do things we're really not ready for that by default make us uncomfortable. So you start doing these things one at a time, bit by bit, step by step. You broaden your experience. And that is actually what gives you sustainable long-term change that you actually can feel more comfortable with. And I'm very, you know me, Cheryl, I'm very leery using the term comfort zone because I feel like it very much gets overused and it keeps people in a shell or a bubble that they don't need to be in. But when you decide what that is, you're still going to have to raise your hand, take a little courage and say, haven't done this before, but I want to give it a shot. It made sense to me. You're probably going to do it more simply and you're not going to feel defensive about it. Makes sense. Well, right? It just seems so much easier.
It does make sense. And I think you bring up a big point. We've moved at this point from being defensive to going, what can I do that's best for myself? Because when we're on the defensive, nothing's working right. Yeah. It's all counterproductive to what we intend to do. So I think that's a really important point. And sometimes, and I think this is important too, we may not like what somebody else says, but we don't know what to do ourselves. We're not sure what's right. So how do you help someone find answers for themselves?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, we're human. So people, let's be honest and let's be fair, right? Most people are being given advice because they actually ask for it to some degree. And I think that's the hardest part as a good friend or a really close family member where, you know, the person really does feel stuck and they're asking, hey, what do you think? And you really put your heart and your thought into it. And they don't do it because it's not right for them. But, you know, at least you've suggested something. It's taking yourself out of that equation. But to be more specific, right, if you're taking the advice piece out of it, it's really okay if you find yourself stuck. Like if you're like, oh, I'm not sure what to do. I'm really at the end of my road. I don't have ideas. I'm feeling a little too tense to even generate ideas. This is what I always work with my clients. So this is kind of like turning down a new road. I always suggest a big new goal. And Cheryl, by that, I mean like a proper goal. And it's something that you have to choose yourself that has meaning for you. Again, someone can't tell you like, oh, you should do this, you should do that. You have to choose it. You have to figure that out. But it needs to be a big goal that you make because it does have some sense of importance to you. So, for example, right, it's still not that long after the new year, and loads of people after the new year are deciding after the holidays, lose weight, the holiday meals, the parties, all the rest of it. But I'll tell you, losing weight is a terrible goal. And people are always, like, taken aback when I say this, but it's like, okay, so if you're just trying to lose weight, you're going to be doomed to fail. But why? Because usually there's no reason to lose the weight, right? You had a reason for gaining the weight. You were celebrating with people. You were enjoying yourself. You were probably having better quality food than you are normally during in the year, depending on, you know, what your party situation is like. So but when you take that next step and you challenge yourself to find the real reason for why you want to lose the weight, it could be anything, right? Do you want to look great for your partner? Do you want to look great for yourself? Do you want to feel more energetic or feel younger? Do you want to spice up your sex life, right? By having more stamina. See, this is the important thing. Your goal actually isn't to lose the weight. Your goal is the bigger goal beyond that. It has to be this bigger goal because keeping your partner happy, improving your sex life, feeling better, getting more done, those are goals that are worth making strong decisions every single day for. Otherwise, Cheryl, and like we all know, it's easy to cheat, especially with a goal that actually is incomplete, like losing weight, because before you know it, it's 11 p.m. and you're leaving the supermarket with a little Häagen-Dazs and Ben and Jerry's in your cart. And you're like, well, hey, I want to lose the weight, but it's not that important. I can start again tomorrow. Well, if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And if it's more in relationship with other people, or it's really deep to your relationship with yourself, like I want to feel fantastic every day and do something I've never done before, there you go. It's just far more simple. You simplify for yourself by coming back in touch with something that's more important.
This part of it, Josh, seems like it is truly the key to everything, because as I look at this and we're saying, and since we're on the topic of weight, we'll get there. Okay, so I want to lose weight because, you know, I'm tired of looking like this, so I'm going to lose weight. But you've got to focus on what do you want, not what you don't want. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be overweight anymore. I want to be thin. All right, why? And it's truly moving to the heart of it instead of, and I agree with you. I think it's very superficial, and I'm as guilty of having a superficial goal as most people are. But sure. when you link it to something that's important to you, it takes on a whole other meaning.
That's exactly right. And the important thing to say here is we do all do this, right? It's far easier for all of us to say what we don't want. And so then we start making decisions about that. And that's awesome, because that's your starting point. But that's often not the thing that's going to pull you through to the finish line. Because at the end of the day, you know, that's where these little resistances keep coming back in, because there isn't something good enough to continue making those commitments and recommitments every day. If I want to lose weight, but I want the chocolate cake, well, what am I going to do for me not to have that chocolate cake and make that decision? You know, all of a sudden I have an immediate cake in front of me, and it smells good and it looks good. And I really have to want to run that first 5K or that first half marathon, or I really have to look at myself in the mirror and say, I know exactly what I want to look like, or I'm going to look at that piece of clothing that I haven't been able to fit into. It's giving yourself those little triggers as well to keep you making a good decision, because the trigger, and so when I'm saying trigger, I'm saying something like an image of the 5K run, an image of the half marathon, the actual clothes that you want to fit back into that you haven't been able to. Utilizing these things repeatedly is going to keep refocusing you so simply back to what you just said, that goal looking forward, that goal you actually do want looking forward, instead of staying in that place of thinking, well, I don't want this. But again, if you keep thinking about what you don't want, you're thinking about that. You're thinking about the cake and the ice cream. And then it becomes a willpower contest. And we always lose the willpower contest. So the bigger decision comes really down to your values. And those values we need to use those visual cues and those triggers to remind ourselves when we're not used to talking about values.
When we start the conversation of values, and I think we open up a very large door here, because who we are and what's important to us is truly linked. It's the cornerstone of who we are, is our values, but we forget about them when we're talking about things such as losing weight or having a better sex life, because it's like, wait a minute, what does that have to do with my values? It has to do with how you value your own life.
Yes, 100%. Go on. I feel like you wanted to say something.
You know, I just sit here. You know, it's like, Josh, it's like having that aha moment. And I swear to God, there's not a single day, the single time that I talk to you, that I don't have an aha moment.
Well,
it's like we forget about the values because we're focused on all the stuff that's made us miserable all along, or the superficial. And if we gear it back down to what are my values, what's important to me deep down. So I look at myself and I can sit there and say, you know, one of my biggest values in life is to be kind to every person on this earth, but I forget about myself. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let's go back to that value, because you're one of these people on earth. And I think a lot of people do that. We'll do for others, but we'll never do for ourselves. And when we take it back to value, we take it back to who we are as a person. And I see what you're saying. If we just go back to that and focus on that, no, it's not going backwards. It's going to our foundation. We're going to be more successful than just saying, I want to lose weight. Yeah.
100%.
You know, that sounds exactly, so superficial.
Well, precisely, but we need to start somewhere, right? If we know we need a change, we always have to start somewhere, and we absolutely need to honor that. So I definitely want to make sure that anybody who's listening to this realizes that, you know, we may throw the word superficial around, but only because it can't be the end result. You know, starting with something like losing weight, awesome, great. There's a reason that popped up as important to you, but we really need, as you start to take action on it, we need to always be going back and forth with that sense of reflection and touching base. I always think of these things as a touchstone, you know, and this is exactly why you created Simple Steps. People have big things happen in their life that it's hard to bounce back from, because it creates these new circumstances that you've never had to experience, these new feelings that you haven't had to deal with before, these new relationship interactions that you haven't had to navigate before in the same way. So this is really the extension of, well, how do I incorporate this to make my simple steps still stay actionable? And you're right. It's not going backwards. I feel like you have to look backwards. It's about just kind of like touching base. I need to come home to myself and just touch base. Because here's the reality, Cheryl, right? Most people stay in this driven mode. They're not driving their own life forward. And it happens too often. And you may also find, for, you know, whoever's listening here, that there's parts of your life where you're being driven by other people. So you may be really effective at driving your career. You may be really effective at driving your home life. But the other parts of your life are often just kind of going in default mode. You find yourself in the passenger seat in these situations. So instead, you want to think, okay, I need to give myself a quiet moment and remind myself there's people all over this world who are just as connected as I am to my community and just as active in their families. And they're driving their lives more actively and feeling better about how they're leading their lives. And this is really, it comes down to those little bits. And I don't want to get therapeutic because that's not what I do, but it always comes down to the emotions. And part of that is addressing things that come up. But oftentimes people are living their lives for other people. You know, you were just talking about it a little bit. So that's the biggest issue. And again, the fastest way to do it is to give yourself a more powerful goal, so you're doing what you really want to be doing with something that's truly more important to you. So that's how I feel like, again, you start with a goal, you start with something simple, you tap into what the bigger goal actually is, and then you can start going somewhere really fast and surprise yourself and have totally different conversations with people and find that you just don't feel resistance anymore because you've started to create these little incremental experiences from something that is important to you. You're happier, you're more content, you feel more connected with people. And the resistance kind of like, I like to think of it as melting, because resistance can feel like you're frozen, right? And it's like all of it just melts away and you just feel free and you can move your arms and your legs and you can stretch those joints out and you just feel good and you're stretching. I'm stretching right now, thinking about it and doing it. And you just feel, you feel loose and you feel free and you feel the way you should feel every day, basically.
Okay. Well, Josh, believe it or not, we are at the end of the show. So,
Fast.
I know it just flies. So for our audience listening, tell them how they can get more of Josh Ubaldi.
Yeah, good. I put a link right into the show notes here. So wherever you came on this page, for a half hour conversation, which is my gift to you, so I can have this conversation with you if you're listening, if you're finding pieces of resistance that you're just not sure how to engage with, or you're totally stuck, or you're just sick of hearing advice and not knowing what to do with it, let's just have a conversation. That's the best gift I could give you. And start there and figure out what your biggest goal is. And that's a gift I'm thrilled to give you. It's just a small investment of your time. So I hope people take me up on it. because I'd love to help you loosen those bonds and stretch and feel like you're living the life you want to be living.
Okay, and that link is conciergelifecoaching.com/Cheryl.
Exactly.
Okay, so exactly. For those of you listening, again, it is conciergelifecoaching.com/Cheryl, and you can find it on our Empower show page. Josh, thank you so much for being here with me today. I hope you've got a wonderful rest of your week planned, and you know, thank you for helping all of us realize what our resistance is and how to get back to who we really are.
Thanks for having me, Cheryl. It's always a pleasure. I love your following and your tribe. So you make it so fun to be here. I love coming every time. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. We'll see you again soon. For everyone listening, thanks for being here with me. This is Cheryl Maloney. You've been listening to my conversation with Josh Ubaldi. Have a great rest of your week.